I want to go back this evening to Acts chapter 18, where I was this morning, where the Apostle Paul was told when he got to Corinth and was to there labor and try to build a New Testament church. And he was discouraged because of the corruption of the city and the evil that was there. But the Lord spoke to him in verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So consequently, he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. That was a long time for the Apostle Paul to stay anywhere, because he was an evangelist and was being called to go to different places in the Roman Empire to preach and establish churches. But he stayed in Corinth for 18 months, I think longer than any other time except the time that he spent in the city of Ephesus. But I want to go back to that statement, for I am with thee. That was God's promise to the Apostle Paul. And beloved, as we read Scripture, we find out the Lord is always with his people. He's with you and me in our personal lives. And that ought to give us great encouragement. You remember over in Acts, when the Apostle Paul was on a ship that was sailing to Rome, and the ship was almost lost. It was in a great storm. And let's look at Acts 27 for just a moment, and verse 20. And when neither sun nor star, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. In other words, it was such a stormy time, they could not see the sun nor the stars for many days during this violent storm at sea. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. You might remember Paul had warned them not to sail at this time. It was a dangerous season to be on the Mediterranean Sea. And so he's telling them, I told you so. How many of y'all like people who say, I told you so? Well, there's usually plenty of people around, and a lot of times people did tell us, and we didn't listen. Well, these people did not listen to the Apostle Paul. Ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now listen to that. In the midst of a storm so bad, they can't even see the sun or the stars. That's a violent storm. But Paul says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Who is it that can be of good cheer in the midst of life's storms? Those who are trusting in God and have the assurance that he is with us. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I like that expression, good cheer, don't y'all? Good cheer. Just cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. You'll understand it better by and by. Y'all remember that song. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, there were dozens of men on that ship. a lot of prisoners. How does Paul know that there will be no loss of life? Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Boy, I love that. Paul is saying, I belong to God and I'm serving God. Saying, now the angel appeared to him and said, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. So Paul is telling the sailors, everybody on the ship, cheer up, because God sent an angel. And that angel gave me a message from God telling me that we would all be safe. And one of the key verses here is that expression in verse 25, for I believe God. You know, it's one thing to believe in God. And anybody with 1.5 cents has to believe there is a God. Where did everything come from? If there isn't a creator. Believing in God is wonderful, but believing God is something else. Do we believe everything he says? Do we? When we worry and we fret, we're not really believing God. We're not enjoying the promise. I like that song we sung tonight, standing on the what? On the promises of God. How many of y'all are standing on those promises? Well, I want to tell you, if you believe God, he's promised in his word to never leave us nor forsake us. So the Lord was with Paul when he was in Corinth. He was with him here on this ship in this stormy sea in the Mediterranean. And God had given him assurance, I'm going to get you before Caesar. My purpose is to bring you to Rome, and I'm going to get you there, and we'll make a way for you. And so that was a promise that God had made to Paul. And you may say, well, Brother Sam, that's true. Paul was a great apostle, and he was a servant of God, but I'm not that kind of person. But I want to tell you, beloved, God's promises apply to you all as much as they applied to the Apostle Paul. You are God's children. And his promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, that's written over in Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Let's just turn and look at that a moment. Hebrews chapter 13, this was written to God's Hebrew children in the first century who were suffering greatly for their Christian conversion. And Paul is saying to them, verse 5 of Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that promise wasn't made to an apostle. That promise was made to church members in the first century who were going through great trials and tribulations, and they needed a word from God. And God sent them this word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that ye may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Who is our helper tonight? He's the same as he was 2,000 years ago. He's not getting old. One brother came up to me today and he said, you know, one thing about heaven is we won't be getting old. Well, that's true. We won't be having birthdays in heaven, but down here we're sure getting older. But I want to tell you, God isn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his promises are as good for us today in 2025 as they were for God's people in the first century. I want to look at another expression the apostle made in his letter to Timothy. This was his final book in the New Testament. And in 2 Timothy, notice what the apostle would say in chapter 4. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And you know, when I read that, I wonder, where were all the Christians in Rome? There was a church in Rome. That's where Paul was. But he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I want to tell you, beloved, you and I ought to be dependable. But the truth is, you can't put all your confidence in man. Amen? Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Listen, if you and I are leaning on the arms of human beings, we might end up very disappointed. At my first answer, no man stood with me. I tell you, that could almost make me cry to think about our beloved apostle, how he had given his life for the New Testament church. And had sacrificed so much in so many places. And now when he really could have used some brethren to stand with him, none stood with him. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. Listen to those words. I tell you, that's heartbreaking right there. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now that's a good attitude to have, isn't it? He says, I'm praying to God that he won't lay this to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Did y'all hear that? When all other men had forsaken him, the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. And I want to encourage all of us tonight, beloved, to put our faith in the living God, and know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but he'll be with us all the way to the end. I remember reading about the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace. How many of y'all remember that story from the book of Daniel? That's one of the most wonderful stories in all of Scripture. And most Christian people have heard about it. But do y'all remember why they were thrown into that fiery furnace? They were thrown in there because they wouldn't bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar. They wouldn't worship an idol god. And so the punishment for not bowing down was being thrown in a fiery furnace, heated 7 times hotter than necessary. I don't know what that was about. You'd think just a fiery furnace would be hot enough, but they made it 7 times hotter. It was so hot that those who threw these Hebrew boys in there were consumed by the heat. But when the old king looked in there, does anybody in the house tonight remember what the king saw? He said, didn't we throw in 3? And behold, there's 4 in there walking around. And the 4th one is like unto the Son of God. Y'all know who was in there with them in that fiery furnace? The Lord was in there with them. He didn't forsake them. And you know, I believe when Daniel was thrown into the den full of lions, you know, it wasn't just a lion's den. I wouldn't be scared going into a lion's den if there weren't any lions in there. But if it's a den full of lions, I don't want to go in there. But Daniel was put in there, And I remember during our fellowship meeting, I believe as Brother Ronald Lawrence pointed out, that Daniel went to sleep down there and probably laid his head on one of those lions as a pillow. I want to tell you, God was in there with him. And you know who's going to be with you in all your trials and tribulations? God is going to be with you. I hope y'all can internalize this tonight, because you may not need this tonight, but you may need it before the night is over. Isn't that right? I got a call yesterday from an old friend of mine out of state, whose stepdaughter is addicted to horrible drugs. She's in a rehab center. She's been one of the most successful women that I've been acquainted with in my lifetime, but she messed around and got addicted to drugs, and I'm telling you, she has been near death. You and I don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow, don't we? And he'll be right there with us. And he'll uphold us by his mighty power. How many of y'all believe God will be with his children when they're passing through the valley of the shadow of death? David said, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. I love that, don't you all? Do y'all believe in dying grace? I've seen it. I really have in people. My brother Franklin, bless his memory, was a little bit scared of death. He used to say, if I knew where I was going to die, I just never would go there. But I tell you, when he was leaving this world, I believe the Lord was right there with him and comforting him in his hour. Some years ago, when I was living in Birmingham, I had this mysterious illness to come on me. And they ran me through a lot of tests in the hospitals in Birmingham, and the infectious disease doctor just knew I had caught something in Africa, but they never could find anything that was causing my problems. But my eyes began to really bother me, and I went to Callahan Eye Clinic, and a wonderful doctor there was able to diagnose my problem as an autoimmune disease called scleritis, arthritis of the eye. And I tell you, it had me down. It was really crippling me. And he told me that he believes that antibiotics, he said, now I'm not opposed to antibiotics. They've saved a lot of people's lives. But if you take too many, they can get your immune system confused and cause an autoimmune disease. And that sounded reasonable to me, because I had taken a lot of antibiotics going to Africa. I'd take anti-malaria medicine, which is an antibiotic, take it for 40 days, and I went over there many, many times. And it probably did get my autoimmune system confused. But I can tell you, what I had weakened me so much, I couldn't get out of bed. And I remember one night lying in bed so weak, I couldn't even roll over, and not knowing what was going on. And the thought came to me, I'm just probably not going to live. And the sweetest feeling came up over me. And I thought, if this is death, it's wonderful. I believe God blessed me to experience what dying grace is going to be like. Children, don't fear death. He'll be right there with you. Maybe the Lord shared that experience with me so I could share that with other people. And I have through the years, because I want to tell you, I want to live. I've got a big appetite for life. How about y'all? I enjoy life. I don't want to go around wanting to die all the time. But let me tell you, when that time comes, and it will come for all of us, I want everybody in the house tonight to know he'll be right there with you. And I'm glad that I love the 23rd Psalm. It's no wonder it's one of the most popular portions of Scripture. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I've got a lot of money? Because I've got a lot of friends? Because I'm popular and famous or good looking or strong? Or no. He said, thou art with me. thy rod. You know, the beginning of that psalm, he's talking to the shepherd. He's talking about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Have you ever noticed this about Psalm 23? But down there about halfway, he stops talking about him and starts talking to him. Have y'all ever noticed that about Psalm 23? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, he didn't say, for he'll be with me, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I love the way that psalm ends. Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the days of my life. Wherever you and I go, beloved, his mercy, his goodness, and his mercy is right there following us as we travel through life's journey. And so God is with us, just as he was with the Apostle Paul. And you and I just need to lean on the everlasting arms and know that God is going to go before us and provide for us. His providence is amazing. Just as he provided a place in Corinth for Paul to live, Aquila and Priscilla, a Jewish husband and wife, had been kicked out of Rome and come to Corinth, and God had provided them as companions for Paul. You know, Paul, when Paul got to Corinth, he didn't have a credit card. He couldn't check in to the Holiday Inn. He was a poor preacher. He didn't have any savings. When he gets to Corinth, where is he going to live? God had already provided a home for him to move into, Aquila and Priscilla. And God provided him with two companions, Aquila and Priscilla, who had the same occupation that he had according to nature. They were tent makers. So now Paul has got a home to live in and a job. He went to work. See, he didn't have any money. Paul labored with his own hands a lot of the time. Listen, this idea of preachers being bivocational is scriptural. Brother Wynn's bivocational. Most primitive Baptist preachers are bivocational. Well, Paul was a lot of the time. So God provided him a home to live in. God provided him a job. And God provided him fellowship with two Jewish Christians. He had a lot in common with Aquila and Priscilla. And they were total strangers. But God went before him. And I want to say to all of us, God has been going before you and me. How many of y'all do know God has made a way for you? Y'all think y'all are so clever you figured it all out. I want to tell you, God has made a way. Where there is no way, our God can make a way. He's an awesome God, isn't he? Why would we ever doubt him? Because of our flesh. I'll tell you, I'll have to confess, worry sneaks up on me and I'll find myself fretting about something and then I feel convicted. Sam, you told the people not to fret and here you are fretting. I'm guilty, but I want to tell you, the Word of God convicts me. And the Holy Spirit encourages me. And people like you. You know, this morning I mentioned about when I moved to Statesboro as a 20-year-old and trying to serve a large congregation with 7 deacons old enough to be my grandparents and 20 widows in the church. But I tell you, they all just were encouraging to me. And that's been the way it has been here at Cool Springs. You all have been encouraging me. I can live a whole week on an encouraging text. I mean, a whole week. So y'all keep sending the text. Amen. How's that for advertising for encouragement? But listen, I try to send text out to elders in different parts of the country that I know are struggling with trials. And I try to encourage you all with text. And with prayers, we can help one another. God helps people through people. And y'all have been a blessing to me. And So our God is promised to be with us. The Lord is with us. And you know what? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Do y'all know what it means to have him in the midst? He just doesn't send us a text. He doesn't. I love cards. I tell you, there's some sisters in this church send me the sweetest cards. I tell you, I mean, get well cards. You talk about encouraging. But God doesn't send you a card or a text. He just comes. He just shows up. He's right there. How many of y'all are agreeing with what I'm saying tonight? Or is this just a pipe dream? Is this some Mickey Mouse stuff the old preacher came up with? No, I want to tell you tonight, beloved friends, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst to own and to bless. And so we need to assemble ourselves together and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because he's promised to be in the midst. And I want to tell you another. I got a call last night about 11:30. I was already really asleep, but I got the call, and this brother was so excited because he had been reading in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he just got some light on that scripture. Do y'all ever get any light on scripture? I mean, a verse will just pop out. I mean, in bold letters. And we just had a good time on the phone discussing Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29 and verse 30, where Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you eternal life. No. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest. And what is that rest? It's usually for people who have been laboring under the law of Moses, trying to get right with God. And that law keeps on, you know, that law keeps on saying you're a sinner and you've come short of the glory of God and you need rest. And when you come to understand that Jesus kept the law for you, you'll have a sweet rest. How many of y'all are enjoying that rest tonight? I sure am. I can go to sleep tonight knowing Jesus is my righteousness. He kept the law for me that I couldn't keep. Thank you all for your wonderful attention this evening.